speak to us now, O Lord, we pray. Speak to our souls today. For this is why we've come, dear Lord. We're ready for your word. Father, we pray now that you will bless our time in your word, that everything that we do and everything that we say will be pleasing in your sight and bring glory and honor to you. Let the seed of your word find good soil in our hearts, that it will produce great fruit. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the most popular works in American literature is a work by Mark Twain entitled Huckleberry Finn. Many of you were required to read that as you were coming through elementary school. It's a classic that tells the story of two runaways journeying down the Mississippi, each escaping their own personal form of bondage. Huck Finn escapes from his abusive alcoholic father by faking his own death. He hides out on Jackson's Island, where he intends to live freely on his own. Jim is an enslaved man belonging to Huck's guardian, Miss Watson. He runs away after overhearing that Miss Watson plans to sell him to a plantation in the South, which would forever separate him from his family. And this 1884 novel tells the story of the deep friendship that forms between them as they face moral dilemmas and search for freedom. Arguably the most popular story in American literature around the subject of being a runaway. And I began to think for a moment, how many of you have thought about running away? All right, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'll raise both of mine. Oh, man, I can remember, man, I'm mad at my mama, mad at my daddy. I got a whipping for something I didn't think I deserved. I'm like, I can't wait to get out of this house. And it was just a momentary thought. I said, maybe I'll run away. I thought about how good my mama cooks and how comfortable that bed was, and I didn't know where I was going. I said, well, let me just go on and stay for a little while longer, you know. Here's the truth. National statistics show that over 1 million people a year, predominantly juveniles, run away from home. Some of the stories of runaways end positively, but most of them end negatively. Heartbreak and heartache around broken ties with family. Some are forced into and become part of a statistic around human trafficking, prostitution, drugs, hunger, destitution, mental illness, and sometimes even accidental death or murder. Here's the interesting thing that I want us to think about today. As many people as run away every year, over 1 million people a year, according to statistics, run away from home, how many people live their lives trying to run away from God? See, it's interesting to me because my brothers and sisters, you and I have a choice. We can run with God, or we can try to run away from God. And sometimes that running away from God is so subtle. It's so innocuous in terms of how it appears and how it seems that we don't realize we are going in the opposite direction from where God wants us to be. Today, for a few moments, I want to talk to you from the thought, the blessing of obeying God. The blessing of obeying God. And maybe if I was going to give this a subtitle, I would subtitle it, Thank God for Another Chance. Thank God for another chance. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? Amen. If you need an outline, raise your hand. And the ushers will get one to you. Our foundational text today is found in the book of Jonah. Jonah is one of the most famous stories in the world. And when we hear the story of Jonah, the first thing we think about, especially those of you who have been Sunday school attenders down through the years, You think about the great fish. But the story of Jonah is really not about the fish. It's about a faithful God who has a mission for his people, a mercy for the disobedient, and a mandate for us to obey. Let me say that again in case you missed it. Jonah is not about a fish. It's about a faithful God, a God who has a mission for his people, a mercy for the disobedient, and a mandate for us to obey. Jonah gets word from God, and he tries to run from God. And his journey reminds us that blessings are always tied to obedience. And there's somebody under the sound of my voice today that you are in a quandrum. You are in a place where you are trying to figure out what does it mean for you to obey God. And I want you to understand that partial obedience is still partial disobedience. God wants your total obedience so that he not only can bless you, but so he can bless people through you. Here's the first thing I want you to see when we talk about the blessings of obeying God. Number one, you need to realize God has a mission for your life. God has a mission for your life. Jonah chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, text says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." Nineveh was part of the Assyrian Empire. The Assyrians were a major military power known as a violent, bloodthirsty, slaughtering, cutthroat, thievery kind of people. They were called by many the most cruel people of their day. And God has seen their iniquities and was about to rain down judgment upon the Ninevites. But because God is a God of love, he wanted to give them an opportunity to repent before it was too late. So he calls Jonah and tells Jonah, go down to Nineveh, or should I say go up to Nineveh, and preach to them and give them an opportunity to repent. Now, Jonah is not a newbie to God. Jonah was a prophet who was already serving the nation of Israel. Jonah lived and ministered during a period when Israel was strong militarily and economically. He served with both Amos and he also served with another prophet that we know about, Hosea. And Jonah is called by God and expected to obey God because he has shown a history of obeying God. God does not call people to a great task that he has not prepared them for, that they have not shown a capacity to do. So he calls Jonah and says, hey, Jonah, I want you to go down to Nineveh, but Jonah has a problem. He doesn't like the Ninevites. Brothers and sisters, have you ever had God say something to you and ask you to do something that you didn't really want to do? Not because you didn't love God, but because of what he was asking you to do. You know, when God tells you, you got to speak to some folk that you really don't want to speak to. Or maybe you ought to apologize to some people that you really don't feel like you should have to apologize for. At least they should apologize first. And God says, no, you be the bigger person. Here is Jonah receiving a word from God. No Jewish prophet on record had ever been sent to Nineveh before. But the Lord commissions Jonah to go to this land and preach his word. This image of Jonah being commissioned to go is similar to what we get in Matthew 28, the Great Commission, to go into all the world, to give people who don't deserve it an opportunity to come to know God as their Savior, recognizing that they not only don't deserve it, but we don't either. And sometimes we get to a place where we have been saved so long, we've been following Jesus so long that we forget we didn't deserve it when we got it, and we start living like we deserve it now after we've been walking with Jesus for a while. And the Bible says Jonah has an opportunity to be used by God. My brothers and sisters, each one of you has been called by God. Here's the mistake that many of us have made. We have equated a call to ministry as a call to preach. There's been an incessant, Dr. Manuel Scott would call it a gallop to the pulpit. Everybody wants to get up and preach. Everybody wants to sit up on the stage with their legs crossed, not recognizing that the work is not up here, the work is out there. And God gives every one of us an opportunity. God gives every one of us a calling to be a witness for him in our concentric circles of contact. So that we can be a witness for him on our jobs and in school and everywhere we go. We can be salt and light wherever we go. So that folks shouldn't be surprised that we're a Christian because they hear that we go to church, because they ought to see Christ in us every day of our lives. Look at Luke 24, verse 47. And that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost, or to the end of the earth. You should be in Jerusalem, the people that you love. You should be in Judea, the people that you like. You should be a witness in Samaria to the people you don't like. And you should be a witness to the entire world, to the people you don't know. God says each of us has a responsibility. So I want to ask you a question today. What is God's mandate and mission for your life? See, too many Christians have been duped into believing that their mission in life is to show up at a place on Sunday and they can check the box and say, I'm good with God. And God says, no, church on Sunday is not the destination. It really should be a deployment center. This is a place we should get trained. This is a place we should be equipped so that now we can go into the world and be who God has called us to be. Here's the second thing I want you to see. Number two, you need to realize there are consequences if you choose not to follow the mission of God in your life. You need to realize there are consequences if you choose not to follow the mission of God for your life. Watch what Jonah does. He gets a word from God. Go to Nineveh and take my message, so that the Ninevites might have a chance to repent and turn around. Jonah gets a word to go east. But the text says, but Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa. Circle that word down. And found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it. Circle the word down. To go with them to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. Watch what happens. Jonah gets a word from God. God says go east, northeast. And Jonah decides he's going to go west. As far west as he can go. He is in the Middle East and he decides to go to Tarshish, which is in Spain. He has to go 500 plus miles to get to Nineveh. He decides to go 2,500 miles to Tarshish. And notice the movement. He goes down from where he was to Joppa. Then he goes down once he gets into the ship, trying to get away from God. My brothers and sisters, can I tell you something? Whenever you find yourself going down, you will always find yourself going away from God. And see, that movement down is not necessarily a geographical or physical move. Sometimes, for somebody under the sound of my voice, somebody who's watching, it's an emotional move. Somebody, it's a mental move, but it's always a resulting factor in your spiritual move away from God. See, when you feel far away from God, it's not that God has moved. You've moved. And when you move away from God, you move down. That's why they built Jerusalem on a hill. Because they wanted everybody in the region to know when you came to worship God, you had to go up to worship God. And whenever you left God, you was always going down. That's why old cities and all towns always had the church at the center and at the highest point. So that whenever people went to the church, they always had to go up to get to God. There was a physical manifestation of what should have been a spiritual reality in their lives. The text says Jonah went down. And then God has a message for him. The sea is in turmoil. Jonah recognizes that this is not no ordinary sea. This is not no ordinary atmospheric disturbance. Jonah knows something's going on, but the Bible says he is down in the belly of the ship. The sailors on top are trying to figure out what's going on. They're trying to do everything they can to stay afloat. They're throwing everything they can that's an unnecessary weight overboard, but they're still in danger of sinking. They tell each other, hey, whatever your God is, call out to your God and see if your God can deliver us. And then somebody goes down and they find Jonah asleep in the bottom of the ship. Say, man, what are you doing asleep? We're about to go under. Get up here on this deck and call on your God and see if your God will rescue us. To no avail. And then finally they say, let's cast lots. Let's see who's the reason behind this storm. They cast lots, and guess who ends up with the short stick? Jonah. They say, come on, man, what's going on? Who are you? I'm a Hebrew. I'm a prophet of the living God. Oh, man. You the reason for this. Listen to me carefully. Sometimes the reason people are struggling around you is because of your disobedience. See, God blesses you not just for your sake, but for the sake of those who are around you. And sometimes God will use the storms in people's lives to show you that you're not where you need to be in terms of your walk with him. Man, they decide to throw Jonah overboard. Well, first, they said, listen, we don't want to throw you overboard, man, because we're nice guys. And so they start rowing against the storm. They make no headway. They're doing everything they can to get to the shore. They can't get there. And they said, man, look, bro, we're sorry, but we're going to have to toss you. Because Jonah told them, throw me overboard. They were like, no, we ain't going to do that, man. Come on, man, we ain't going to do that. Let's try to get to the shore. Finally, they said, look, bruh, you got to go. And they throw him overboard. Now, here's what's interesting. These seasoned sailors, after they saw their gods, found no answer, and they decided to throw Jonah overboard. And as soon as they threw him overboard, the sea calmed. The sea stopped raging. The testimony was so great that the sailors who worshiped foreign gods began to worship the true and living God. They worship the true and living God. They make vows to the true and living God. But wait a minute. What happened to Jonah? The Bible says because of his rejection, he had to go down one more step. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 15. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you and your king. Luke 12:47, let's read it together. And a servant who knows what the master wants but isn't prepared and doesn't carry out those instructions will be severely punished. James 4:17, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. The Bible says that Jonah's thrown overboard and he is swallowed by a great fish. We're not told what kind of fish it is. All we're told is that he is swallowed by a fish. Now, I'm going to tell you something that I just saw when I was in Alaska. Sitting there at the dining room table, a whale came up with his mouth wide open, came up out of the water, opened his mouth, and closed his mouth and went under. And I thought to myself, I could fit in his mouth. Now, I'm not telling you it's a whale. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, though, a great fish was prepared, and Jonah prayed to the Lord from the belly of the fish. Remember, he has moved away from God. He went down to Joppa. He went down into the ship, heading in the opposite direction of where God wanted him to be. And now the text says he goes down in the belly of a fish. Matter of fact, this was such a bad place to be. Look at what Jonah says in verse 2. I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me out of the belly of Sheol. I cried, and you heard my voice. That word for Sheol is translated in some places hell. Jonah had gone down so far, he felt like he was in hell on earth. Anybody in here ever walked disobediently to God and found yourself in the belly of Sheol? Felt like you were in hell and couldn't get out? The Bible says that's where Jonah found himself, all because he made a decision to go the opposite way of where God told him to go. But here's the good news. After 3 days, the text says Jonah prayed. He prayed. He sought God. And I'm here to tell somebody today that if you are in a hellish situation, if you are going through a living hell right now, maybe it's because you have refused to obey God and do what God has told you to do. Thank you, Lord. I know I'm talking to somebody today. You might be functioning in your hellish situation, so you look better than you actually feel. But God knows, and you know, you're not where you're supposed to be. And Jonah shows us, even in the belly of Sheol, God can hear your prayers. Somebody ought to rejoice in that right now. How far down will you have to go before you look up and call on the name of the Lord? See, the good news is God can hear the prayer of repentance wherever you are. You don't have to be in a great place for God to hear your prayers. All you have to do is have a good heart and be in the right place spiritually, and God can hear your prayer of repentance. God has a plan for all of us. But the question is, have you accepted and are you walking out his call in your life? For somebody, you've been unwilling to serve the Lord. You've been unwilling to turn away. In order to serve the Lord, you've been unwilling to deny yourself to serve the Lord. You've been unwilling to go to a different place to serve the Lord. You've been unwilling to serve different people in order to serve the Lord. You've been unwilling to give up the opportunity to make more money to serve the Lord. And let me just throw this in parenthetically, because there's somebody that's watching right now, somebody that's listening under the sound of my voice. You said, no, see, Pastor, I was going to make more money so I can give more money to the kingdom. And the problem is you making more money and you still haven't given to the kingdom. If that shoe fits, put it on. God heard his prayer. God heard his cry. And the Bible says he was delivered. Anybody in here ever been disciplined by God? Anybody in here ever been whipped by God? In other words, you knew what you were going through was divinely orchestrated to get your attention, to get you to where he wanted you to be. See, whenever you refuse to go where God wants you to go, and you refuse to do what God wants you to do, and refuse to be who God wants you to be, you open yourself up to be disciplined by God, because God ultimately wants to bless you and others through you. Man, I could think about my own running for my own calling. Oh, man, I was running. Had my track shoes on, the track outfit, I was running. I was determined. I was not, no. Especially when people said, you're going to be a preacher because your father's a preacher. No. I ain't doing nothing because my father did it. And I'm running. And God is slamming doors. God is closing doors. And I'm like, man, how can I? I'm like, I'm going to be a corporate lawyer. I'm going to be a corporate lawyer. How is it that I do well in macroeconomics and can't pass microeconomics? What is going on? And God is just closing doors. Until finally, I just had to say, Lord, you win. I'm going to do what you called me to do. Look at Psalm 103, verse 11 through 14. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Titus 2:14, let's read it together. Who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Let me share this last thing with you and then I'm going to let you go. Number four, you need to realize you can start doing what God has commanded you to do today. You can start doing what God has commanded you to do today, right now. Watch what the text says. Jonah chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Jonah repents. And the Bible says that the great fish spews Jonah out of his mouth. And then God comes back to Jonah. There's no evidence that God gave Jonah a chance to get a shower, bathe, get cleaned up. I can imagine God coming to him just like he was, just so Jonah would be reminded in case he wanted to say no again of what God could do. He comes to Jonah, verse 1, Jonah chapter 3, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Look at what the text says, the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. Second time, God gives Jonah another chance. He tells Jonah, Jonah, go to Nineveh. Don't go with your words, go with my words. Say what I tell you to say after you go where I've been telling you to go. And the Bible says, Jonah arose, verse 3, and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on a sackcloth. from the greatest of them to the least of them. Jonah is recommissioned by God. He is given another chance. And the Bible says Jonah does what God has called him to do. Now, he still doesn't like the Ninevites. He still doesn't think they deserve mercy. But Jonah has enough sense to obey God. My brothers and sisters, somebody under the sound of my voice, the fact that Jonah got a second chance, I want to encourage somebody today that we serve a God who will give you another chance. I'm not going to say a second chance because some of us just blew right through that second chance. Come on now, we done blown through the third chance, fourth chance, fifth chance. But thank God, he's a God who will give another chance. He's the God of a new life and a new beginning. You don't believe me? Go down the Bible. You can see God giving another chance over and over again. Abraham fled to Egypt where he lied about his wife, but God gave him another chance. Jacob lied to his father Isaac, playing that he was Esau, but God gave him another chance and restored him and used him to build the nation of Israel. Moses killed a man in Egypt, was on the backside of a Midian desert, taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. But God spoke to him through a burning bush and gave Moses another chance. Peter denied Jesus. Three times he denied him by the fire. But the Bible says when Jesus rose again, he told the women, say, go tell my disciples and Peter to meet me in Galilee. And Peter would preach on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 souls would come to know Jesus, because he's a God of another chance. Anybody in here, have you ever needed or wanted another chance? Did you do something and then stop doing what God told you to do? But I'm so glad that God can give you another chance. Here's what you've got to do. You've got to pray to the Lord. Say, Father, like the old song said, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. You've got to pray with all sincerity. Not only that, but you've got to repent. Not just say, I'm sorry, but make a commitment to never go back there again. You've got to pray, you've got to repent, and then you've got to refocus on what the Lord has told you to do. Somebody, under the sound of my voice, you are wrestling, trying to figure out how to obey God. But here's what I hear God saying, just trust me and never doubt, and I will work it out. Have I got a witness in here? God wants you to take advantage of another chance. When you obey God, you'll discover that his mission is greater than your mistakes. When you obey God, you'll see that the consequences don't cancel his compassion. When you obey God, you'll realize there's mercy for your mess ups. Have I got a witness here? When you obey God, you'll discover it's never too late to start again. When you obey God, you don't run from his call, you run towards his will. You don't fight his plan, you focus on your purpose. You don't delay your obedience, but you start right now and say, God, here am I. Give me another chance. Give me another chance to get it right for you. Give me another chance. And I don't know about you, but I'm grateful that we serve a God of another chance. Anybody grateful? Come on, anybody on the stream today, just put in the chat, grateful. I'm grateful. Hey! I'm grateful that he's a God of another chance. Let's pray. Father, thank you for reminding us that you have a mission for our lives. Forgive us when we have tried to run from your will. And thank you for your mercy that meets us in our disobedience. Strengthen our faith to follow you completely, even when it's difficult. Help us to walk in obedience even when we can't see the way. To trust you so that we can experience the fullness of your blessing in our lives. Lord, may our lives reflect your glory as we choose to do what you have commanded us to do. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for another chance. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Everybody who can, everybody who will, if you stand on your feet wherever you are, my brothers and sisters, God is not finished with you yet. Just as he gave Jonah another chance, I believe today he's giving somebody else another chance. You may have been running, you may have been resisting, you may have been rebelling, but God's mercy says you can start again right now. The blessing of your life is waiting on your obedience. And God doesn't want you to try to figure out everything before you obey. God wants to trust you to obey him. God wants you to obey him and then trust him to show you the path. So the question is, will you obey his voice today? Will you commit to following his plan for your life? Somebody today who doesn't know Jesus, maybe you're watching today, God wants you to know him, but for somebody else, you know him, just like Jonah knew God. Because disobedience is practiced by both the saved and the sinner. For the sinner, he says, come to know me. And for the saint, he says, grow in me and trust me. And I'll give you another chance to get it right. If you're here today under the sound of my voice and you're ready to step forward in faith, downstairs or upstairs, to my left or to my right, we invite you to come. If you're looking for a church home and you believe this is where God wants you to be, we're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. We are a people in progress, an imperfect people serving a perfect God. But we welcome you to join us for this season of your journey. We invite you to come because the greatest blessing of your life is waiting for you on the other side of your obedience. While you say, man, my life is good now, God says it could be so much better if you just learn to obey me and trust me. As the song of invitation has come, sung, come on and come today and say yes to the Lord. You can respond online. Use the QR code that's on the screen. And if you're in the sanctuary today,
There are people who are up front who would love to show you privately how to ask the Lord into your life, who will rejoice with you, who will pray with you. Come on and come right now.
A second chance, you forgave me like only you can. You gave me a second
led for somebody today who maybe is in need of prayer. I'm just sensing somebody struggling with, I don't know any other way to put it, just obeying what God is telling you to do. Maybe you've been questioning, maybe you have second thoughts about it, maybe you've been trying to figure it out before you make that step of obedience. And God is saying, I need you to trust me. I need you to trust me. To know that I'm going to work it out. If you trust me. If you're here today and you would like to come to the altar for prayer, we're going to pray just for a minute. But I want to give you an opportunity to come. Maybe you're praying for clarity. Maybe you're praying for direction. You don't know where God wants you to be, but you know where God doesn't want you to be. Right? So maybe you're in that place. Or maybe you know where God wants you to be, and you've seen and felt obstacles to that, and you're asking God to give you clarity and direction. Somebody under the sound of my voice, you've been fretting so. You've been upset, you've been mad, you've been crying, you've been depressed. But you really haven't prayed. You've gone through a range of emotions, but you really haven't prayed and said, God, give me direction and give me peace about what you want me to do. Whether it makes sense or not, give me peace about what you want me to do. Whether I see it or not, God, give me peace about what you want me to do.
Another chance.
Join hands with somebody around you. Put hands on their shoulders just as a point of contact. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for just the opportunity to come to you in prayer. God, I know from personal experience what it means to hear you and not move as you're leading and directing. So many times, God, we have questions, we have concerns, we have doubts. And as legitimate as those concerns may be in our mind, at the end of the day, God, we have to trust you. So God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would above all else give those under the sound of my voice and those who are praying peace. Peace, first of all, to know that they are not going through what they're going through by themselves. Peace to know that nothing they are facing has caught you off guard. Peace to know that you are working all things together for the good to those who love you. Peace so that they would rest in you instead of struggle on their own. Peace, God, because we only worry about those things that we have no control over. But you give us an alternative to worry even when we're not in control or in charge, and that's resting in you. So God, I pray right now for a spirit of rest to come upon everybody under the sound of my voice. A spirit of rest that says we love you, God, we will trust you, and we believe that you can work all things out for our good. God, I pray right now for somebody under the sound of my voice that you would not only give them peace, but give them courage. Strengthen them, God, so that they will trust you, that they would walk in faith, so that they would not be led or directed by what they can see with their eyes, but that their steps would be ordered by you in faith. God, you tell us at times to do things to see if we'll trust you today with what we can't see tomorrow. And so, God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, that we would trust you, that you will work it out. Have your way, Lord. We thank you because your word teaches us that you're a God of another chance. And so, God, even when we have let you down, even when we have had fear and fret and worry, we thank you, God, that you give us another chance to trust you. And so, God, we trust you, we lean on you, and we ask you to direct now. Where our prayers fall short, we ask you to make up the difference. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Let all of God's people say amen. Come on, turn around, shake somebody's hand, give them a hug, tell them we're gonna make it, we're gonna make it, we're gonna make it.
A second chance.